BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
I'm Emma Freud. In real life, I'm a writer and broadcaster. In my dreams, I'm an investigative journalist exposing social injustice in dangerous international territories while wearing an attractive camouflage jumpsuit. Rukmini Kalimaki is the person I wish I was. In real life, she's the ISIS correspondent for the New York Times, a four-time Pulitzer Prize finalist and host of the award-winning podcast Caliphate, which charts a major interview with a former ISIS soldier. Just to set the scene, Rukmini, so that people know who you are, how many times have you interviewed members of ISIS?
Several dozen times, over 50.
How many death threats have been made against you by terrorist groups?
I've lost track of how many, but I can tell you that on six different occasions, the FBI considered the threats against me to be serious enough that they themselves called to warn me of them.
Why do you do what you do?
I think that what I'm doing is making a difference. I feel that the work is important. And in the end, the war on terror has now cost over $1 trillion. It's not just in terms of cash, but also in terms of blood that has been spilled. And yet, this group, in my opinion, remains very misunderstood. And I feel that that is where my work comes in, where I'm trying to understand them in a more meaningful way.
In order to be able to defeat the ideology, to understand, in order to arm ourselves, is that why?
That's an accurate way to put it. I mean, it's the ultimate adage. How do you defeat your enemy if you don't know your enemy?
The thing that I took away from Caliphate was the journey that boy had gone on. That up until I listened to you talking to him was incomprehensible to me. How a Canadian 23-year-old, whatever he was, could lash other people with whips 100 times, could kill because somebody had smoked weed. I can't remember what the offense was, but he was worthy of death according to the ISIS law. And but by the end of those 11 hours, I understood it. I got it.
Right. That's exactly how we felt. We meaning myself and Andy Mills, who was the producer of Caliphate. That's exactly how we felt after having spent hours speaking to Huzaifa during this incredible interview. But as soon as you step away from it and you start trying to explain that to colleagues or to friends, it starts to fall apart because once again, you're explaining this monstrosity. You're explaining that the most grotesque thing in the world, which is taking another human life and taking it in a way that is meant to exact enormous pain.
And yet, in order, as you said earlier, to understand them, you need to talk to them. And in order to talk to them and to actually get somewhere, you need to come at them with a certain degree of compassion.
I've taken a lot of heat for this. You know, there's not a lot of people who think that being empathetic towards ISIS is a good idea. In fact, when we were editing Caliphate, this was one of our central concerns, is this empathy that I'm showing for this person who is an avowed murderer, is that going to be misinterpreted as giving ISIS a platform or allowing ISIS to justify themselves? And I'm always struggling with this internally because, of course, I don't ever want my work to be that. I came to the States when I was 10 years old as an immigrant. I was born in Romania in the communist period. My parents fled the Ceausescu regime. We were, for a short amount of time, political refugees in Switzerland. So my own story is a story of being an outsider, a story of going from a place that I felt very comfortable and loved in to constantly being a curiosity or something different. And that, I think, has somehow conditioned me to perhaps be a tad less judgmental of people who are very different than ourselves.
I think one of the reasons that you're so effective in getting information from people who you would never expect to give information to someone like you is because you somehow, you're very boundaried, but you somehow give enough of yourself that you create that empathy with whoever it is you're talking to, whether they're an ISIS killer or whether they're a victim. And I wondered if you'd ever made a decision of exactly how much of yourself you were prepared to put personally into your work. I mean, I was very struck when I heard you talking to one of the Hasidi girls who had been raped, and you said, and you were clearly then happy to broadcast you saying, I'm so sorry that you were raped. My mother was raped, and I have to tell you, it's not your fault. Somewhere in your head, you have made a decision that you are prepared to open that door into you in order to encourage the kind of communication that you want, haven't you?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Emma, like we really struggled in the making of Caliphate, in making those decisions. That was one anecdote that we talked long and hard about whether we should include. And of course, I had to go to my own mom and ask her if it was okay to include it. And she said yes. But also the anecdote in chapter one of Caliphate, where I describe, you know, this night of terror where I really felt fear. I was afraid to share it, Emma, because I am a woman covering this beat. I am a woman that is reporting on conflict and reporting on war. Yes, there are many that do it now, but it's still a fraught profession where I've always been a little bit afraid that perhaps managers, editors, colleagues will see me as weak, will see me as not being able to hack it compared to my male counterparts.
Did you have similar misgivings about revealing the fact that you were once fat shamed by ISIS?
Yeah.
That was a shocker.
Yeah, that was one where I was like, my God, if I put this out there, this is just gonna become the way that people take the Mickey out of me, you know, from now on. So one of the ISIS supporters or operatives who was going after me for a while was a person who went by the screen name Tazni. He must have figured out that I'm sensitive about my weight. You know, I've like some women, I have gone up and down in my weight throughout my adult life. And so in addition to calling for me to be killed when I was in Mosul, he would routinely put out, you know, these like memes about how I was fat, how I had gained weight, you know, like, I mean, and just the irony is that I'm being fat shamed by a terrorist group, you know, I mean, anyway,
and they had a nickname for you.
They had a nickname for me, yes. My name is Rukmini Kalimaki, and he called me Oink Mini, as in oink like a pig. Oink Mini Fat Machi. I'm sorry, like it still makes me laugh when I put it out there.
In general, Rukmini, in your work, I'm not talking so much about Caliphate now, but in general, with the foreign correspondence work that you do, why does your fear of the situations that you find yourself in, situations which mean that you have to have a security detail with you at all times in certain countries, why does your fear not stop you? What is so strong in you that it overcomes your sense of self-preservation?
But Emma, I think my fear has stopped me many times, many, many times. I've gone to do certain things, and then the night before, I've just, you know, told my team, I'm sorry, I can't go. What I try to do now is take calculated and intelligent risks. Obviously, the most amazing reporting I could have done from 2014 to, you know, a couple of months ago would have been to actually be inside ISIS territory. And there are reporters that have done that. There was a German reporter who managed to get into Mosul. That is, to me, something that is so reckless that it's not worth doing.
But was there a tiny part of you that was also slightly jealous?
Of course. I was incredibly jealous. I mean, I went and read his accounts and was just kind of gobsmacked by what he did. But if that had gone wrong, and, you know, like all of us, there are people that love me, and I don't want to put my own family through that.
You've seen things that in some senses people shouldn't see. You've heard stories that people shouldn't hear about things that should never have happened. How do you separate your work from your heart? How do you cope with the emotions of what you are exposed to and find a way to be dispassionate about them in your writing?
I mean, I'll tell you, Emma, I think I think the limits of my empathy are the Yazidi issue. Those have been some of the toughest interviews. And you hear me lose my temper with the ISIS prisoner who is lying about having raped the Yazidi child.
So what's hurt you the most? What's been the most painful thing that you've witnessed as a foreign correspondent?
The most searing image, and this is an image that I may never be able to get out of my head, but the most searing image that I have encountered was when I was in Ivory Coast. This was in 2011, I believe. It was the tail end of the civil war. I had gone to a very distant place where we had heard that a massacre had occurred. It was so distant that we had to drive hours and hours to get to basically a launching point. From that point, my colleague and I went by motorcycle, on the backs of motorcycles, and then we had to take a canoe to get to the location. And we walked up a hill. The killers had been there basically the day before. And as you're going up the hill, you know, we pass one dead body and then another dead body. We passed the bodies of two women. And I knew that the women had been raped before they were killed because they died on their backs, clothed from the waist up and naked from the waist down. And it had never occurred to me what rape actually looks like. You know, like you know what the act is. But what it looks like for somebody to be raped and killed. And it was absolutely horrific. And I mean, for really weeks after that incident, if I smelt, you know, a dead dog or a dead raccoon or something, it would take me back immediately to that place. And I would sometimes find myself getting nauseous and losing my lunch on the side of the road. That's been the most searing image. And it goes to the brutality of what happens in wartime.
Is there ever a moment at a time like that where you think, I don't have to do this? If I didn't do it, somebody else would do it. I can walk away from this job.
I've never thought that, no. Because I think it's the opposite. I mean, I think that I was there with Rebecca Blackwell, who's a talented photographer for the Associated Press. It took everything we got, you know, to get to that location. It was an incredibly scary day because when we were walking up the hill, even though the locals were telling us that the killers had gone, there was no guarantee that they would not be in that clearing. And as far as I know, no other reporter has gone to that particular scene because of how distant and remote it was. So to think that somebody else is going to do it, no, that didn't occur to me.
Is there nothing you can imagine that would make you say, I'm not doing this anymore?
You know, I feel that this job is such a privilege. I mean, I can't imagine that situation now. I hope that it never comes to pass that I should feel that way.
Rukmini Kalimaki, thank you so much.
Thank you, Emma.